Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's show. Today is September 17th. If you can believe that, this year is going so fast. This is a very interesting year, 2020. You're listening to These Be Perilous Times. On this show, we make a point as we endeavor to study the Word. We want to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we ought to respond to them, how we ought to prepare for them, especially for the things which are soon taking place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we both welcome you again this morning. As usual, we have a good broadcast in store for you today, and we want to make sure that you're prepared to take notes. So if you want to go ahead and get your pen and your paper together, we'll go ahead and get into a continuation of our study this morning. First, I want to pass the baton back to Rabbi John. He can open us up with prayer, and then we'll have our before Torah study blessing, and then we'll go ahead and do a recap. Rabbi, I want to pass it to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the momentous spiritual implications of this day, as well as the awaited time for you and for us to reunite forever. Father, we ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression, and we make a quality decision this day, right now, to forgive those who have sinned against us and caused iniquity and transgressions against us and our family. Father, we thank you for the strength that you give us to even forgive ourselves, to not hold our shortcomings in contempt, but allowing us to forgive ourselves so that we can fulfill everything, all that you've called for us to be and do. We glorify you for that. And we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the seeds that are going to be planted in the hearts and the minds of each and every person. We thank you, Father, for the harvest that is going to be reaped. And we glorify you and honor you right now in Yahushua's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well,
amen.
Pastor Andre, I am excited that the Father is moving us in a direction during these times. And before we get started or before I get ahead of myself, I'm going to pass it to you and let you do the recap and as well as the blessing over this message. It's exciting to me to understand and to know that the Father not only has a plan for us, but is making it happen throughout all the chaos. Well, back to you, sir.
And I agree with you. Let's go ahead and have the before Torah study blessing, and then we'll recap, and then we'll jump in and continue this conversation.
Ruach atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam asher kishanu b'mitzvotav yitzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. Well, real quick, I'm going to go ahead and catch everybody up. We've been discussing the necessity for the fruit of the Spirit, which came on right on the heels of a discussion about how the enemy was trying to wear out the saints. And one of the things was the changing of the times, as we discussed in the book of Daniel. But what we wanted to focus on was the fruit of the Spirit and how that's a necessity. And then we began to discuss the need to prepare through fasting and prayer. And the fruit of the Spirit discussion took a different direction than you may have thought. As we talk about the Spirit, many people think about the gifts of the Spirit, but we began to focus on the importance of the fruit of the Spirit and how it accentuates the gifts. From last week, some of the takeaways we began to discuss was that it's important, number one, walking in the Spirit is not walking the gifts, but rather by the fruit of the Spirit, which will allow you to be in the peace that Psalms 91 mentions, and to see what the recompense that would happen for the wicked. So it's important for us to be in peace and to be under the shelter of the Almighty. And that one avenue of doing that is by pursuing His Spirit and its fruit. Number two, we talked about how the Torah and the fruit of the Spirit play a wonderful symphony together. I don't know if you've ever heard just a beautiful duet where both of the singers together perfectly supported and accentuated each other. But that is a picture, a metaphor, if you will, for the Torah and the Spirit working together. And they display a wonderful manifestation of Yah's anointing. And we came back and pointed briefly to two scriptures, Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, which is a foundational scripture as we continue this part of the study. But with Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, we noted that the fruit of the Spirit was evident in the end times, where it says this: "Here is the patience," I'm reading from King James, "of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, the correlating scripture that we also tag with this is 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Of course, looking at verse 2, it's talking about how do we love, not only, with verse 2, it talks about how do we love or know that we love the children of God. And then it says we basically can't love the children of God unless we love God. Well, how do we love God? Well, in verse 3, it says, "This is the love of God, that you keep His commandments." So we begin to see, even on a more focused level, how love especially is important, is a potent component of the fruit of the Spirit when it comes to Torah. What we also began to do last week was discuss and begin to go through a methodical and detailed breakdown of the nine fruits of the Spirit. We started off with Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, looking at the Greek word agape, which we understand as unconditional love. And that's to be differentiated with all the other Greek versions. So with Greek, there are a lot of different versions of love. So you have eros, which is more your marital intimacy, erotic. And then we have philios, which is more of a friendship. But starting with agape, we cannot give agape love, is what we talked about, the God kind of love, until we receive it ourselves. That's something that may sound strange. It's like, well, why can't we love? Well, love is something that is taught. And when you look at the example, as we began to do, with different Bible characters, you begin to see that, as the scripture says, God first loved us. And so it's by that teaching that we of love from the Father that we begin to learn how to demonstrate, or we ought to, I should say. We looked at Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, and began to look at Adam's experience. And he experienced a different kind of love, and it changed his perspective. Okay, so back in Genesis, and we can cover this again in detail, but I want to go ahead and give scriptures in the outline. Well, the other example we looked at is how Adam was equipped with a wife in verse 18 to protect him. But we looked at how the adversary especially begins to develop his war game. The adversary uses this one fruit of the Spirit and tries to pervert our understanding of it so that we begin to pervert how it's used or how it's approached. So the adversary uses love and tries to change it. Notice how Adam, he didn't have a helper at first. He said, "Where's my helper?" And God gave him a helper. But in his love for his wife, he then began to change the instructions that were given to him. And so the enemy tries to attack us often with the objects or the things of our affection. And the battle is within us. It's not necessarily the object or the person, but the battle becomes inside of us as the enemy tries to manipulate our perspective of love and how to apply it. We then looked at Abraham. This is a good example of that love issue. Abraham had a different love for Isaac than he did for Ishmael. Ishmael was the illegitimate son, but not the son according to the promise. But Abraham's love for Isaac caused him to begin to develop more of an affection for him than affection and love for God. But Yah tested Abraham's love and his priority of his love for Isaac over his love for God himself. If you remember, we talked about how when Abraham laid Isaac on, or took Isaac, the Lord said, I want to know if you love me more than him, or I want you to sacrifice your only son whom you love more than me, is what we included in there to kind of get to the heart of what God was saying. Now, we also had a picture of God's love last week with John 3:16. And we also real quick referenced Matthew 24:12. But with John 3:16, everyone has heard this at least in some form or fashion over the years in their lives. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's this focus that God has desired to have relationship and has started his plan from the beginning and leading all the way up to the death of his Son, which was a mere image of what he had asked Abraham to do. But in the demonstration of his love, we begin to see how he is committed with his covenantal loyalty to us. And so he's asking for us to begin to walk in a different type of love, a love that is mirrored after his own kind of love. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to you, Rabbi. We can continue our conversation. So much to talk about, but we'll go ahead and jump in for where we are this week. Rabbi.
Hey, man, I totally agree with you there as far as there's so much. Going back to the love issue, that love issue is something that we must understand how it works so that as we are being developed, it is being developed and we allow it to be developed in us. We had talked about 1 John 5:3 pertaining to that love aspect and the fact that love is us following the commandments of God. And I want to, Pastor Andre, I want to kind of give a formula, if you will. And the reason for that is because too often we don't have a structured understanding of what this love aspect means. I know that we had talked about the Hebrew hesed and the fact that in the Hebrew, it means covenant loyalty. That love literally means covenant loyalty. And that so echoes 1 John 5:3. Because the Father says, if you love me, you will keep my Torah. You will keep my commandments. You will keep my words, both written and spoken words to you pertaining to your life. So, one of the things that it's important for us to begin to see in the structure, in this formula, if you will, is that the fruit of the Spirit and these ingredients and the terms that we use very loosely at times, unfortunately, like the word faith. The faith in the Greek is understood one way. But in the Hebrew, it's understood from a standpoint of the word trust. And that word trust that we get a grip on and that we understand is a word that denotes a process. You don't automatically just trust someone. That doesn't happen. Okay? Or in most cases, if it does happen, then you will suffer a loss in a certain area of your life based upon trusting someone too early. So the Father, and when we look at one of the scenarios or one of the illustrations, of course, we talked about is Abraham. Abraham had a journey in his relationship with God, in his trying to trust him, trying to really establish faith in him that, yes, you will do what you promised that you would do for me. And we need to understand this because this is the manner of speaking the way that the Father dealt with Abraham to establish the love that we're talking about, part of the fruit of the Spirit. And in that love, the Father was steadfast. He was unmovable. He had already made his decision, and he was going to establish a covenant with Abraham. And even after areas in Abraham's life where he failed God, or where he procrastinated or took more time establishing this relationship and this covenant, God was still there. He still was there for him. And this is the thing that we need to begin to understand pertaining to this formula. First and foremost, Pastor Andre, the most important part of this formula of establishing the proper manifestation of love is the Word of God. If we could look at it from a standpoint of seed, time, and harvest, and I'm going to say that again, if we could look at it from a standpoint of seed time and harvest, too often we think that the love that we are supposed to portray to God is an automatic, instantaneous thing. It's something that, you know, you click your fingers and boom, it happens, and then we move on. Or that faith is an automatic, instantaneous thing. But it is not. Faith is something that not only has to be established, it also has to be maintained. It has to be maintained. It has to be cultivated. I remember, Pastor Andre, you had shared a little tidbit of your experience pertaining to becoming a farmer. And how, and if you could share a little bit of that as far as the maintaining process.
Yes.
And we'll go on after that.
So, it's funny, I actually recently had a conversation with my uncle going over this exact same thing. But I had said, you know, in learning how, you know, agricultural life works, it has really illuminated many of the scripture references pertaining to the subject matter itself, excuse me. But one of the things that has been the most eye-opening is really how much care and nurturing and maintaining it takes. And my wife, honestly, she has held the brunt of most of the work. And as I've worked with her, I've seen that just weeding is something that happens so easily, because, of course, you want to nurture the ground that you're planting in. And, of course, what happens is all the weeds think that's exciting nurturing ground, too. So they want to jump in and spoil the party, if you will. But the care it takes week after week. Back in June, we spent a good weekend and some of the week weeding out our beds, and it looked wonderful, only for weeks back to come back later, and the weeds had come back again. And it reminds me that it's constant care. You have to continue to maintain and to keep an eye on things. All it takes is for you to look away for a little bit, and then it's like the weeds will, or pests. We've had an issue with caterpillars and different things trying to eat up our plants. But it shows me what the Father is seeing when he talks about harvest and seed time and planting. And each stage requires its own attention and its own time. And really all of this has taught me that time is so valuable, because it really is the commodity you need in order to make things happen. But all that to say, I've seen a lot about the nurturing, a lot about watering, a lot about sometimes overwatering. But it requires a nurturing and a care from us humans that sometimes we take for granted when we just go through our lives and expect things to happen. And I think, to make a segue, and I'll pass it back to you, I think too often in our own spiritual lives, we don't realize how much nurturing and time it takes in order to be really fruitful. So that's just a takeaway that I've seen, and it's a challenge, but it's something I'm recognizing more and more. And I'll pass it back to you.
Amen. And I totally concur with you, and I thank you for that, because we're going to glean from your experience in establishing this formula. So first of all, within the formula or within the process is the seed. And remember, the seed has to be the seed of God, because even though God has a seed, Satan has one as well. Because remember, in the garden, there was, in the midst of the garden, as a matter of fact, in the very middle of the garden, where all the activity happens to get from one point A to point B within the garden, Adam and Eve had to go around this tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they were never supposed to eat of. So it was right in the midst of the garden, as the scriptures say. So Satan has a seed as well. It's a counterfeit, obviously, but Satan has a seed. So the seed, as we know, and Pastor Andre, I'm sure that you can echo this statement. The seed of God only produces that which God has placed within the DNA of that seed. I'm going to say that again. The seed of God has within it a DNA that will supernaturally, spiritually manifest that which God has placed within it for you and for me. And don't arbitrarily believe or think that we have the same seed. We have the same God, but not necessarily do we have the same seed. Within that seed is your purpose. Within that seed is my purpose. Now, how do I water that seed? How do I cultivate and make sure it has the nutrients and that it needs and that it's in fertile ground? There's two main ways to do that, and both of them are important. One is fasting, and the other one is prayer or communion with God. Both fasting and prayer helps to strengthen and helps to give the fertileness that is necessary for the seed to mature and grow. Now, there's one more component, and this component is essential for the seed to grow up and to be very, very strong in its production of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is obedience. Now, that, for some, is a harsh word, because you expect the Father to bless you without you having to reciprocate obedience to Him, obedience to His Word. But without that obedience, it will not grow properly. Now, another thing that is important to understand is oftentimes we want our seeds to grow very rapidly. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because we are waiting for the fruit and are desiring that fruit so that we can partake of it and nourish our body. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that particular passage of Scripture gives a descriptive understanding of how to allow our seed to grow rapidly. How for our seed to grow rapidly. Okay? Because there's a natural growth, a natural manner in which, a seed or a plant grows. But the Father has placed within His Word a supernatural manifestation that will even affect the natural that we live in today. And see, in these perilous times, we need to understand that, we need to tap into it, and we need to live that on a regular basis. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you can get that for us, Pastor Andre.
Yes, here we go. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Now, I'm going to focus on the B part there. It doesn't say he's a rewarder who seek him. It says that the Father is a rewarder for those who diligently, with force and vigor and determination, those individuals. There's a difference between a person that nonchalantly is on their way and on their path and going in the way that they're supposed to go, but they're taking their time and they're stopping at rest stops and just that type of thing. These individuals who are diligent, they are purposeful. They are looking at the clock. They are wanting to make sure that they meet their deadline of their time to get from point A to point B. Those who are diligent is what the scripture says. Now, a good example of that is in Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. This is an excellent example because this is where the father is having a conversation with Isaac. And, of course, he's talking about Isaac's father and how Isaac's father walked in Torah. But he also gives Isaac a unique opportunity to supernaturally excel beyond what the natural understanding of seed time and harvest plays in our everyday lives. Now, as Pastor Andre reads this, I really want you to begin to pay attention to this one. Because this is diligently seeking him, what it does for our spiritual and natural at times, okay, as the Father wills. So, Pastor Andre, if you could read that for us.
Absolutely. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
Okay, continue, I'm sorry.
Okay, verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. And they feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of that place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with his wife, Rebekah. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And that's verse 9. And I'm looking for that part where he has a hundredfold. Is that what you're looking for, Rabbi? Okay. I want to continue with verse 10. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us.
Yes. I can't hear you.
Okay, I hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. All right, sorry about that.
Okay. That's all right. So where we were was Abimelech and Isaac, and I was looking for the part where he plants and has a hundredfold.
Right. And I know that in the beginning portion, I do believe it's in chapter 26, although there's, side stories or journeys to get there. So what we'll do is we'll keep going with what we're talking about while we're waiting to try to find that.
And we're right there. We're just one verse away.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Thank you.
I just found it. I'm sorry.
That's
so right. The verse we're looking for, this we stopped at 10, verse 11, and Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Here's verse 12, which is what we're looking for. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him.
Now, Pastor Andre, I know that sometimes we just read through Scripture and just make assumptions, okay, mm-hmm. based upon what we've read or what we believe we understand what we've read. But in verse 12, it literally says that the Father God gave him 100-fold blessing from farming. And I'm sure other areas as well, but we specifically want to look at the farming. And the understanding here is that from seed time to harvest, from the seed, from the time that he placed the seed in the ground until the time that he picked the fruit of that same seed was in the same year. Now, have you ever in your life heard of any miraculous manifestation like that, Pastor Andre?
No, I have not. That is just to give you an example, you know, that's talking about one seed, 100-fold from every seed that he planted, and that's just, that is a lot. That is a lot.
Yes, and I totally concur with that. Now, one of the other things that we can take away from here was it in good and prosperous times that this manifestation happened?
No, and that's where the real miracle is, because we read in the first couple verses here, it was a famine. And this was not the famine that his father had, but it was another famine on top of that.
That's right, exactly right. So this was during, I guess we could coin the phrase, this was during perilous times that this was happening.
That's good.
This literally was happening during perilous times. We are approaching the self-same perilous times, and some would argue already are there if you're in a third world country and not in the United States. And the Father is saying to us, I am more than equipped and more than able, as you not only learn the formula but and the process, but begin to implement the self-same process in your life, I will multiply in the same year. I feel as though, and for those that are that understand the biblical calendar, tonight starts Yom Teruah. And I feel like we've stepped across a threshold, or we're about to. And it's a one-year threshold. I feel that situations and circumstances are going to begin to, and upheavals are going to begin to manifest in a manner of speaking in a way that we've never, at least in the United States, have never seen before. And I know that the Father is saying, with this example, I am the same Yah that did this for Isaac during perilous times. I am the same Yah in your and my life that am more than able, more than capable of causing the self-same miraculous miracle of a harvest, not just with seeds in the natural, but with seeds in the spiritual. There are seeds that have been placed in the lives and the hearts of individuals that are listening to this broadcast. There are prophetic, if you will, words spoken over you that are from the Lord, that are desiring to manifest. And this process that we are discussing is what will help those seeds to germinate, to take root, to bear fruit, and to establish themselves in the same manner in which Yeshua talks about the mustard seed being the smallest of all seeds, but having one of the largest trees of all trees. It may seem to you that your word from the Lord, your seed, is a small and insignificant seed. But you must be diligent. I must be diligent to do and to be what He has called us to be. To be obedient, as we said before. To fast and to pray. That fasting is a part of de-weeding. Pastor Andre, the fasting is a part of de-weeding the areas in our lives so that they don't overtake us. Whenever we run into a situation or a circumstance where we have a weakness in our life or a vulnerability in our life, and that vulnerability begins to grow to the point to where it becomes more difficult for us to struggle to keep from being susceptible to that vulnerability. That should let you and I know that our fast life is lacking. Fasting helps to de-weed, and it helps to strengthen us so that we can overcome our weaknesses. Also with fasting is prayer. That's communication with God. That's spending time qualifying the words that we were given. I don't know, Pastor Andre, if you've ever bought a bad batch of seeds that you expected to grow, but it didn't grow. Okay? All right. Prayer helps to sift through the seeds to ensure that we have the Word of God. It helps us to differentiate between the seeds of the enemy. Because in one of the passages in Matthew, it said that part of the parable was that an enemy sowed weeds in the wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. You remember that? So
yep.
Prayer helps us to differentiate between and to catch early these seeds before they begin to germinate as well. These are the processes that we're talking about. This is something that you've got to maintain. There's got to be a maintenance, if you will, a maintaining this lifestyle. It's got to be a lifestyle. Okay, for some of us, that means we're going to have a lifestyle change. But I'm telling you, this year is going to be dramatic. This year is going to be a year of tremendous harvest. But we've got to ensure that the seeds that have been planted in our heart are the seeds of God. That it's from Him and Him alone. And not allowing the enemy to mask himself as an angel of light and direct our course off the true course in which the Father has for us. The love of God and the love that He places within us can only bear one fruit, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. It cannot and will never bear the work of the flesh. The work of the flesh comes from the wrong tree, which comes from the wrong seed. So we've got to understand this process. This process has to be a part of our daily routine. I mean, it has to be a routine for us. The moment that it becomes a routine, Pastor Andre, is when the fruit will bear. Too often when we get the seed from the Lord, we think that we should immediately have fruit at that point. But what we have to understand is the fruit of the Spirit is the divine fruit for those who have a relationship with Yah. The fruit of the Spirit will not manifest if our relationship is not pure before Him. We can have an acquaintance relationship, but until we have a more intimate relationship, the fruit of the Spirit will not manifest. We should never say, oh, I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit, but yet I have a tainted or a broken relationship with Yah, a broken relationship with God. In the areas where my relationship is broken is the same area where my fruit from the Spirit of God has been compromised. And I'm sure, Pastor Roger, you've run into a situation where you go out to your garden and then there's this what seems to be luscious looking fruit. And then when you go out to grab it, like you said, the worms have gotten in it. And they have just eaten the inside out, if you will. It looks as if... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, one of the biggest ones, these ugly, big, fat caterpillars called greenhorn worms, but they love tomatoes. And you could see a tomato from one side because it was just about to be ripe. Then as soon as you get to it, the other side, it's been eaten into and starting to rot. And it is very frustrating. And so we try to get those quickly. But yes, you're right. It's actually painful. We'll see that happen.
Because you've labored. You've harvested. I mean, you're trying to harvest, but you labored and you cultivated and you pulled the weeds. You've done all those things that you need to do, but the adversary is quick to try to act like those worms that you referred to. He's quick to do that. So we have to begin to examine ourselves on a regular basis to ensure and to make sure that there is nothing that will offend us and offend especially Yah when we spend that time, that quality time together. This is what prayer does. Prayer helps us to ensure that there are no worms that are going to destroy our harvest. Now I'm hoping, Pastor Andre, I'm hoping that these analogies are helping and are trying to formulate a better understanding of this particular process. Because when seed time to harvest, there's time involved. That time causes us to be mature, okay? It causes us to be patient, okay? It's a good example is James. If we can go to James chapter 1 and read 1 through 4.
Okay.
Because James gives a good depiction. And he's talking about joy. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And we oftentimes think of joy as gladness, and it is. But joy comes through things that we persevere through, that we even at certain times have to suffer through. Joy is not something that just come haphazardly without some struggle, without some perseverance. If you can go ahead and read that for us. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
So it starts off saying, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, or lacking nothing.
And the wanting or lacking nothing means doesn't mean that you won't ask Him for anything. Understand this. It means that you will be whole. Okay, I'm going to say that again. You will be whole. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is not for those who are seeking the gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is not for the nations. Because it says the leaves in Revelation, it says the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. The fruit of the Spirit is for a person that wants to walk in divine relationship, divine health. Okay? There's a difference between divine and a person that needs healing. Okay? Wholeness is for a person that wants to walk in divine health. Healing is for a person that is sick that needs to be restored. So the fruit of the Spirit is not for a person that needs to be restored. It's for a person that is already walking in health and needs that wholeness. Pastor Ron, do you remember the 10 lepers?
Yes.
The story that Yeshua talks about the 10 lepers. And you know that one of them came back. Now, all of them were healed. All of them were in a process of being healed as they were following the word from Yeshua. And that was to go to the priest so that they can get an official, you know, understanding of being healed so that they will not live in the leper's camp anymore or have to signify verbally to everyone that they're unclean so that they won't come by and contract the leprosy. Well, one of them came back, right? And that one that came back worshipped Yeshua. And in his worship and adoration of Yeshua, Yeshua was touched. The Father was touched because the Father spoke to Yeshua and told him to let this one out of the 10 know that not only was he healed of his disease, but he was made whole from the spiritual implications that was causing the disease in the natural in the first place. You with me there?
Yes.
So he received the fruit of the Spirit and not just the gift of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are for those who are not walking properly in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are for those who are walking and desiring to be made whole. So we need to make sure we understand. It's imperative that we have both. I mean, I'm not negating or speaking or being condescending at all about healings or about the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But I want to make sure that we keep them in their proper place. It's imperative that we give a differentiation between the two so that we don't just stay in the area of gifts. And when we desire the fruit, we don't just manifest the fruit with a lack of understanding. It says, with all of your getting, get an understanding or get the knowledge base so that you can apply it properly. The fruit of the Spirit is the manifestation of the seed when we are walking in obedience, when we are fasting on a regular basis, when we are in constant prayer, and prayer helps us to recalibrate areas in our life so that we get to the destination and are able to have the fruit bear on our tree. It's imperative that we understand this. Now, I'm going to close with this, but I would like for Pastor Andre to kind of recap what you were getting from what we've just shared.
Absolutely. It hit me really hard when you gave the difference of the leaves of the tree, which were for the healing of the nations, versus the fruit. Obviously, a fruit comes on a tree, right? But you came back to the 10 lepers, and the verse that really struck me was verse 19, where Yeshua says to the leper, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And you said it was the wholeness that we need to be pursuing. And it's those who are pursuing wholeness that receive the fruit. Going back to another thing that you brought out, which was really, really poignant. It was amazing. You basically said there's two different things. Leaves are for restoration. Fruit is for wholeness. And, you know, it's easy. Sometimes we get caught up and say, oh, yeah, we want the leaves for the healing of the nations. But that is like the first tier. And the aspect is that we ought to be already walking in a level of restoration for what Yeshua has already done for us. And it's like the next level. It's that level. Yeshua always said, you know, he always brought things to another level. And now I see that there's a wholeness aspect that supersedes or is a level above just being healed. We want to be whole. And it actually, for me, it changes my perspective of prayers for quote-unquote healing. It really, we should be aiming our prayers for wholeness in every way. And I realize that for a lot of times we shoot short or we fall short from where our goal should be, if that makes sense. So real quick, in a synopsis, we ought to be pursuing the wholeness where the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is for wholeness. And that was a very good point, sir. I appreciate it.
Amen. So for those of you that are listening right now, you may need, most of us do need a healing. Most of us do need a touch from Yeshua, a touch from Jesus. I get it. I know it. I understand it. I'm living it myself. But we need to understand that if we need a touch from Jesus, the wholeness that we so desire as well will not come until we fix the area that caused the deficiency in the first place. We kept talking about 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Pertaining to this true love, the love of God. So, obviously, if I need a healing, if I need a touch, if I need restoration, I need restoration because there's something that happened that was a brokenness within me. So first I've got to realize, okay, I did something wrong. I did not follow the pattern. I did not submit to what the instructions said. Therefore, that's why I need a healing. Yeshua never needed, as he walked the earth, he never needed a healing. Never. Moses, as he fulfilled what his father had told him, it says at 120, his eyesight was still as a young man. It was perfect. There was nothing wrong. His body was completely whole and completely healed. There was nothing wrong. Father, we need for you to help us to realize the areas where in us because of our disobedience and not being obedient according to the process. To where we've allowed the enemy and the cankerworm to begin to eat our fruit. We ask forgiveness for that. We take responsibility for our actions. And we renounce that happening again. We remove it from us. We ask that you begin to restore the joy of our salvation. And like it has already been said, also allow us not to stop at just the healing, seeking a healing for this and a healing for that and a touch for this and a touch for that. But with that touch and with that healing, also as that one leper seeking a wholeness. So we worship you, Yahuwah. We thank you, Yeshua, and we give honor and praise and glory where it is due your name, so that we may be in constant relationship with you, constant wholeness with you. In Yahushua's name, amen. Well, Pastor Andre, I really felt like this was a very, very solemn but powerful message today. And I'm gonna pass it to you to conclude and to give information for those who need it pertaining to us and our fellowship. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. And yes, it was a very timely message. I felt the Spirit speaking to me very directly through the words that you were sharing. So, audience, I hope today that you also were hearing what the Holy Spirit had to speak to you. And the Holy Spirit will speak to very personal things in your life. So listen, especially as we go through these studies, be listening to what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. So as we continue, and we're going to be closing at this point, we thank you for joining us today. We thank you for listening and at least participating with us as you listen with us in these broadcasts. And so yeah, we are glad that you are taking time to study in Yah's Word. And that's part of what we're talking about, having that seed. So I pray that the seeds which are planted even through this discussion, that you'll be faithful to nurture them and allow them to manifest in your life. We encourage you to continue to study these things and as Bereans and see if they are true. And I just want to also remind you that everything that we've been discussing and this whole broadcast is an extension, an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem in Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or if you would like to leave us an encouraging word or a comment, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. We're happy to hear from you. You can find out more about us on our website at www.bethhashem.org. And that's BethHashem.org. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. Also, if you would like to contribute and give offering, we have made a way available via Cash App. You can visit our Cash App page at www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem. Again, that's BethHashem. Or you can mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And again, we want to thank you for those who have been generously participating with us in giving via these methods. So at this time, we're going to close with our After Torah blessing, followed by our Aaronic benediction, and then our closing prayer by Rabbi. So at this time, we'll have Pastor Doug close us with our After Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam nata bikotenu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for the Aaronic benediction. This is a blessing coming out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. I'm going to sing this in Hebrew and then give the English interpretation.
Yivarechecha Yahuwah. Bishmerecha Yair Yahua Panabelecha Vihunecha Isai Yahua Panavalecha Beasem Lecha Shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And it says in verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So may you be blessed, for you and your household, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Rabbi.
And Father, we receive that blessing that was shared and that was sang over us. We receive it for our house. We receive it for our family. We receive it in this day and in this time. Father, we take it into ourselves and we germinate it. We allow your word and your blessing to have its way in our lives. We thank you, Father God, that your word gives life, but it gives life as we submit and as we give ourselves to that life so it may fulfill its purpose in us. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.